You are listening to Hello Cupcake, It's Me, a podcast with your host, Michael Peterson.
Hey everyone, Michael here with Hello Cupcake, It's Me, a podcast. And today is January 12th, 2023, and thanks for hanging with me. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the podcast and head on over to youtube.com/HelloCupcakeItsMe to go check out the vlog, like and subscribe over there, and go give the blog some love at www.HelloCupcakeItsMe.com. So, oh man, I cannot believe that we are already into like the second week of January. Like, damn time, could you slow down some? I mean, it's just going by so freaking fast. But, I've been enjoying the hell out of myself. For New Year's, everyone always does that whole New Year, New Me thing and, like, makes all these bullshit resolutions that they're not going to stick with. And, like, by the third week of, like, February, they're back to their old habits. And it's like, no, Methany, you're still fucked up and partying and stuff like that. The only thing that's different is that you have a fifth baby's dad and all that other stuff. But, yeah, I really didn't make any kind of resolutions this year. About the only thing that I am going to try to do, and this is just a personal thing for myself, not really a resolution, is I'm going to try to gatekeep information a little bit more. And by that I mean that I think I'm going to like start trying to withhold information, especially from certain people, and especially if it's like things that I like to do and other people are like trying to bite on that in a sense or whatever. I am finding myself like wanting to withdraw, but at the same time, that's completely going against my personality because I like to be an open book and very transparent and letting everyone know about like all the things that is to like know about, especially if I know that somebody else is struggling. But I don't know. For me, my methodology of thought on that was, I know what it's like to struggle, so why would I want anyone else to struggle if they might not know how to obtain the same resources that I've gotten or whatever? And I started thinking about it, and I was just like, you know what? If they can sit up on Facebook and post all kinds of random bullshit about this baby daddy or this person has done this, that, or the other thing, or whatever else, they can figure it the fuck out themselves if they really wanted it. So, I have been extremely selective, especially with, like, three or four people in my life that they've known me to be this open book and this like hub of information and resources and stuff like that. And, do you know about this or do you know about that? Nope. Never heard about it. Knowing damn good and well, I know everything there is to know about that program or how to go about like obtaining this, that, or the other thing. The other thing, you know, I've also started setting boundaries, which is really difficult for me also. One of the biggest boundaries that I've had to learn to set over my lifetime, in my adult life, I should say, is setting boundaries with my biological mother. And if you've watched any of the YouTube videos, you know the issues that I have with her and all that other stuff. But she's in her 70s and still using methamphetamines, even though she claims she doesn't do that. And I'm like, yes, you do. Like, I've seen your paraphernalia. I've come into the bathroom after you've been in there and you've done a line. I know what you're like when you're twacked out. I know what you're like when you're sober. And I know what you're like when you're jonesing. Like, you can't tell me that you have or have not done these things. Like, the last time I went to see her right before the holidays, my sister, her boyfriend, and myself, we went down there. And we went to go pick her up. And she got in the back of the car, and she had powder all over her nose. I'm like, really? You couldn't be sober to just hang out with us? So, setting extreme, like, diligent, fuck you type boundaries is something I've had to do with her. Like, she wants to come and visit and see where we live and all this other stuff. And it's like, no, you know, we've lived here almost 20 something years. You had the chance to come along with us, but you chose drugs and your dealer and your abuser over, like, over us for a third time. And this isn't the third time for me. Like, the whole part of the whole reason that me and her had a falling out was that when I was 14, 15, she decided to choose her drug dealer over me and said, you know, that if I couldn't stand behind her decision, then I was a mistake and that I need to get the fuck out of her life. And she was pissed off and she was mad that she ever had me and all this other bullshit. And it's like, you know, I know the story of why I was born, and it wasn't like you were doing God's work having me. Like, she had me out of an ultimatum. My father wanted to have a family. He told her, listen, if you don't give me a child, then you can go on because I'm looking for a wife that I can create a family and a home with. And so she ended up having me after that ultimatum was given to her, and she didn't want to give up her cushy gig of sitting up under him collecting money or whatever. So that's just the tip of the iceberg of, like, childhood trauma and emotional damage caused by her and, like, regarding her. There's so much more, but I don't have enough time on my podcast to even, like, delve into that. And it's also part of the reason that I went and I started studying mental health and became a peer counselor. Not that I'm doing anything in a professional capacity with said peer counseling, but I needed the mental health help that I wasn't getting by, you know, quote unquote, professional providers or whatever. And so I was just like, you know what? If I can't get the help I need, let me become the help I need. So that's really kind of helped me. And I use my education that I've gotten to really help other people in that regards to, like, if I'm sitting down and talking with somebody, there's sometimes where I'll go into psychoanalyst mode and start, like, well, you know, maybe you should try doing this or that or whatever else. But anyways, so yeah, the boundaries I've had to set with her have been very strict and very, like, impregnable. And I know somewhere in her vacuum that she calls a heart, she does miss me and does want to be more part of my life or whatever else. But it's like, no, you gave that right up when you told me to kick rocks. So, you know, that's something else. Like, when you go to start setting boundaries, you're going to find who your real friends and family are, because the very first thing that people who are used to using you is going to do is they're going to say, fuck, you've changed. or why are you being like a bitch, an asshole, whatever else, and they're going to try to take your change and mirror it back on you as a negative. And like your true friends and your true family and whatever, they're going to support you. But even then, there are times where we do change too much too drastically, and we think that we are going into self-preservation mode, when actually all we're doing is we're alienating ourselves from those people in our lives that may have toxic moments, but are not completely toxic in like the regard of needing to cut them out of our lives completely. Because even the most well-adjusted person can be toxic at times. It's human nature. It's just, does the cycle of toxicity continue day in and day out? And, you know, if that's a no, then you gotta like kind of look at that person. And this is something else that I've learned in my life, is like, I can ask things of certain people that I can't ask of others. So I know, like, friend A, if I needed to, I could call up at 2 o'clock in the morning and be like, hey, my car's broke down. I need a ride to the airport. Can you help me out? And friend A will be there, Johnny on the spot, take me to the airport and do whatever and come pick me up and shit. Friend B, if I called at 2 o'clock in the morning having an emergency, that person would then deny the phone call or say that they never got it or that they were asleep and didn't hear the phone or make a million and five excuses. Friend C, it will be that person that sees it and then like answers you like, hey, no, I can't help you right now. I'm sorry, but you know what? Let me try to get a hold of someone who can. And, you know, so that's been something that I have really struggled with, is identifying those specific traits within my circle. Like, who can I ask to do what? Because for me, up until just a year or so ago, I was that person that you could call and I was taking care of everything. Like, you could call me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, say, hey, I need you to drive me to Vegas. I'll pay for your gas or whatever. I'd be like, okay, I'll be at your house in 45 minutes. Let's go. Like, that's the person I was, and that's the person I strove to be. I wanted to be that person that everyone could count on. And I'm still, to a certain degree, very reliable, very accountable in those regards. But there's also times where I'll see a phone call coming through and I know exactly what that person needs. I know exactly what that person wants. And I hit the pause button on my life at that moment. And I have to make a stern decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to answer this phone call and sequester this person's need, or like fulfill this person's needs? Or am I going to let it go to voicemail and make a judgment call at that point? And 9 times out of 10, if I do send a call to voicemail, I will listen to that voicemail. And I will listen to what is being asked of me at that moment. And then I will take a personal inventory of, do I have the means? Do I have the time? Do I have the energy? And then I just kind of like go down this like mental checklist of things. And, you know, not more often than not, depending on who is calling me, I'll answer the phone and I will at least entertain the idea with them on the phone. But the one thing I do not budge on is at about 9:30, 10 o'clock, I take my nightly medications so that I can fall asleep by midnight, 1 a.m. So some of those nightly medications that I'm on are controlled substances. And one, I don't want to have a DUI or a DWI. And two, it's not safe for me. Therefore, it's not safe for everyone else if I get behind the wheel of a car while under the influence of these medications. And so I just, like, I'll have to tell people, I'm sorry, I've already taken my nightly medication. Like, I took it, like, 30, 40 minutes ago, and it should be working here pretty soon. So I just don't feel comfortable driving. Because I'm also one of those freaks that chew up their pills just to get it into your system faster. And I know there's going to probably be people like, oh my god, you shouldn't chew your pills because it has special linings to do this and to protect that and blah, blah, blah. And it's time released and whatever. I'm just, you know what? I do. I chew my medication so that it gets working faster and I go from there. But yeah, so setting boundaries is a difficult one for me and can be difficult for anyone. And you have to really look at it as like, am I actually setting a boundary or am I creating a, well, not really creating, but am I isolating myself? Like, there's a huge difference between self-isolation, depression, and flat-out not wanting to do something. And, I mean, for me, it's a pretty cut-and-dry thing. But if you're constantly, like, if somebody's constantly hitting you up, hey, you want to go out somewhere, you want to go do this, you want to go do that, and you're no, 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 then you get pissed off, upset, and depressed that you don't go anywhere or that no one ever wants to hang out with you. Well, you have you have created this sphere of isolation. You made yourself isolated because people are only going to ask you to do things so many times before they quit asking you. So if you're setting boundaries, though, you're like, okay, well, yeah, I'll go with you, but I really don't want to do X, Y, Z. So, like, if the plan was, like, let's go out to the club and then, you know, maybe go do this, that, or whatever. Like, well, if we go to the club, I don't want to drink, and I really don't want to go to the club at all. But, you know, going to the movies and maybe having dinner, prior to going to the club or whatever, I'll go do that with you, but I don't feel like going to the club and like partying tonight. Those are good, healthy boundaries, but just flat ignoring the phone call or, no, I don't want to go anywhere tonight, blah, blah, you know, that's okay on occasion, but to consistently like say that you don't want to do something or defer it to someone or something else, like, no, I can't do XYZ right now because so-and-so isn't feeling well, or I can't do this right now because of this going on or whatever else. You know, that's acceptable from time to time as well. But, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those, it's a fine line, but kind of a crowbar separation thing for me personally. And I think in most people's cases, but, yeah, so setting those new boundaries, me trying to set boundaries without being self-isolating or, being completely withdrawn from the people who matter to me in my life, that's something new for me. So, yeah. Outside of all of that, I've been doing a little bit more for, like, my own happiness. And I live on an extremely tight, fixed budget. And I have a very limited income. So one of the things that I promised myself this year was that I was going to do more for myself and figure out the means at a later time. And so I want to do more things for myself than just like, oh, well, I wish I could go, but, you know, I can't really afford it right now. Like, if I know something's coming up and that I might want to go to it, I've started rerouting finances and making sure that I have just a couple of extra dollars for that, like, last minute trip to the movies or whatever. And I was given gift cards for Christmas, and so one of my favorite things to do is go to the movies and go out for a meal and then go to the movies. And so I got two gift cards, one for McDonald's, one for Subway, and then I got gift cards for the movies. So I now have movie funds whenever I need them. And that might be a cool financial, like, tip for you. Like, if you know that you want to go and do the things, but you might not have the money to do it, like, in a week or two, when you get your paycheck or something, put a few bucks onto a gift card for, like, going to the movies or whatever else. I know people that can do those budget planners where they stuff money into envelopes and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know what? God bless you. Because if I know that there's free money, not free money, but, you know, like just money laying around, I'm one of those people that will more likely than not spend it. Like, oh, shit, my friends are going to go do XYZ and they want me to come along. Well, I know I got $40. Like, kind of stashed away, I'm gonna go use that and go hang out with my friends or whatever. So, I find that having gift cards kind of takes that away, because I know that $40 is locked up on a gift card. You could even do prepaid, Visa cards and stuff like that if you don't want to do an actual, like, gift card somewhere. Then that way the money is on a card and the money is kind of out of sight, out of mind type situation. And then if you need it for any kind of a emergency situation, you could just go grab your prepaid card and use that. So I used to do that quite a bit too when I was younger, as I would just put money onto a prepaid card and then I would have money in my bank account. And then I would keep cash on me. And I find if I have cash on me, I blow through that cash so damn fast. If it's on my card, it's a little bit like more, do I want to actually take the card out and swipe it and check the account balances, making sure that I actually have it and all this other stuff. But yeah, it's... It's a lot, but yeah. So that's one thing, like I said, I'm doing for myself is that I made that promise to myself that I'm not going to limit myself and I'm going to still live within my means, but I want to do more within those means. And that might not make sense, but it makes sense in my noodle. But anyways, Oh, and one of the things that I did for myself is I got myself a Nintendo Switch for Christmas. I've been wanting a newer video game system. Like, the newest video game system thing that I have is a PlayStation 3. And I don't even play that all that often anymore, just because it's, like, kind of a pain to have to switch all the controls around and get the controllers to actually freaking charge up. And I need to just break down and buy a control charger. But I wanted something kind of newer, and my sister got the Nintendo Switch OLED, and I've been playing hers, and I really liked it, and I liked the idea. I love Nintendo products anyways, and the Switch is like the new version of the NES, where there's just like a bajillion games available for it. The one thing that I don't like about the NES or the Switch, though, is the fact that the games are so fucking expensive for basically a memory cartridge, or like a memory stick, or for like a camera. Like, really? You're gonna charge that much for this? But, and even the digital versions of the games, like $60 for a digital version of a game that if you lose access to your account, you can't recover. Like, no. And I understand why they're trying to do it that way, so that they can limit game theft and all that other stuff and being able to trade or whatever, but still, no. I like having the physical cartridge on hand so that I can like tell a friend, hey, I got this game, I'll trade you this for that or whatever. But yeah, so having a lot of fun with that, and got a couple of games already, and I'm somewhat loving the digital aspect of being able to download games and play them off your cloud. So that's pretty cool. But anyways, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. So if you've listened this far along, thank you so very much. Like I said in the beginning, go check out the blog, HelloCupcakeIt'sMe.com, and head on over to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/HelloCupcakeIt'sMe. Follow, like, share, and subscribe, and join the family over there. And until next time, I will talk to you all later. Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for tuning in. You have been listening to Hello Cupcake, It's Me, a podcast with your host, Michael Peterson. Please make sure to check back often, as new episodes are released bi-weekly. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to send a message to HelloCupcakeIt'sMe@gmail.com. And until next time, stay happy, safe, and keep doing the best you can with what you have been given.